So we're either called to go or we're called to send. You are called. You are called. Jesus said there in John 20 and verse 21, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So you're sent. I mean, if you're waiting to have some kind of a confirmation that you're called, here it is. Okay, now you got it. Yeah. You don't need to wait any longer. It's now confirmed. But you know, reaching people around the world, there are people everywhere. They all have a soul. They all have a soul. And they will spend forever somewhere. Do you want to know why they're going to spend forever somewhere? I mean, when on the sixth day of creation, God created all things prior to that, but on the sixth day of creation, that's a big day. Really it is. Because of the first day, the first part of the day, God spoke and He said, "Let there be the beast of the field." And there they were, the beast of the field. I mean, just a second ago, there was nothing out there. And then He said, "Let there be the beast of the field." And there they were. They're out there. But that's not what He did with man, is it? It's not what He did with man. Now, remember this. If you go back to the simple things say this. They say that God created man and woman, all right, and that God spoke the animals into existence, all right? So there can't be any evolutionary connection between the ape and the man. Why? Well, because here's what God did for man. He created man with His own hands. He didn't say, "Let there be man." He created man with His own hands. And in doing so, once He did that, now He takes this body that He made that has no life in it, and from Himself, He breathed into this living, this body, this form, from Himself, He breathed His eternal breath into man, and man became a living soul. He can't die because the breath of God is eternal. So he's going to live forever somewhere. All right? Know that. Jesus did not die for the ape. The ape doesn't have an eternal soul. It just breathes. That's all it does. Breathes. So, here's comfort in knowing you are not related to apes. Thank you. Can't be any connection, right? Just can't be. So, I just would like you to, we'll take Psalm 126 here. And then I'd like to establish a very, very huge point. Now, Psalm 126 is a very familiar passage of Scripture to so many. And we're just going to go ahead and look at it and then move on. But over here in Psalm 126, verse 5, it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoice with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Already prayer has been made for this service, and already God is reaching out to meet our needs. We are a needy people, and God uses needy people to reach needy people. Because we understand where these people are that are lost, right? We do understand that, amen? We were there once, right? And now we're here trying to help them get to where we are, to be saved, to know the Lord as their personal Savior. And that is the mission field. That is the mission's work. The mission's work. Your faith is being challenged. Your pastor talked about giving out these cards to put down something that God has impressed you with. All right? Something that God has impressed you with. Now, just know this. This impression that He makes upon you, He will meet what He says He will do. He will do that. Now, you have said that God keeps every one of His promises. Now, you didn't tell me that specifically, but I know you must have told it to somebody. If you didn't tell it to somebody, you at least told it to yourself. So we all know that God keeps His promises. Amen? Yes. Now, not all of you said amen. Are you impressed with the fact that God can keep His promises and that He will keep His promises? Yeah. All right, keeping that in mind, when we give toward missions and we give toward faith promise giving, and that's the step that takes us into the next dimension, then we need to be able to trust God. We need to be able to trust. You know, trust is something we don't just give out any old place, right? There's not a lot of people we trust. It probably is a pretty thin group of people. Some of us have difficulty trusting even God. I would say that there's some here even this morning that have not totally trusted their entire life with God. You've kept some of it back for yourself. Because what kind of a life does a human being have if he gives all of his life to God? There's no fun in that. That's what we think. We think that if we yield and submit and surrender our whole life to God, there goes the fun right out the window. We're going to be bored stiff. But the fact is, you know, I want to show you this. This is incredible. This is huge. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. Notice this. If you just get these simple, basic principles, and look, God is simple. If in your eyes God is not simple, that would be your fault. It really would be your fault. Because, you know, if things get complicated and they get confusing in your life, blame it on yourself, because God didn't put that there. God, He even said that He's not the author of confusion. He is not the author of confusion. Now, get this. Look at this here. This is big. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at this now. This is incredible. It says here, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ." And look at this word now. Here it comes. Stewards. Stewards. Preacher, what in the world is that? You know, I thought that some of you probably didn't know what that is. And so I'm here to inform you about what a steward is. First of all, now that you're saved, you're it.
Don't you just feel good all over now that you know you're a steward?
I mean, you can go home and you can just say, "Hallelujah, I learned something in church today. I learned that I'm a steward." And somebody says, "Oh, what is that? I don't know." Well, I hope that by the time you leave here this morning, you will know what a steward is and that you will wear that proudly. A steward. What? Notice it even says over here, the stewards of the mysteries of God. And watch verse number 2. It says, moreover, it is required. Ah, wait a minute now. First of all, I had a hard time just coming to the understanding that I'm a steward. Now I find out that if something is required of stewards, and I've been a steward all this time, and maybe I haven't been meeting up to my requirements. What does it say? It's moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Have you ever read that before? Have you ever lived up to that before? Are you living up to that now? All right, my fellow stewards. After all, you said you're saved, didn't you? You didn't say that, right? You're saved and on your way to heaven. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you die, that you go to heaven and be with the Lord. Amen! Yes, fellow stewards. I come to impart to you that God has requirements that you need to meet. And you need to rise to the occasion. And this missions conference, it literally puts you into a place where, okay, now God's going to tell me what I need to do as far as getting involved in missions. After all, I am required as a steward to do the will of God. So that means the preacher can impress me any which way he wants. The Holy Spirit is going to tell me which way I need to go. And so now I'm going to fall in line and be obedient to the will of God. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. But notice, it says in the first part of verse 1, it says, and stewards of the mysteries of God. And stewards of the mystery. Do you realize there are mysteries of God that maybe you haven't yet been able to unlock? That would be true. There's a lot of God that's mysterious. And God leaves it that way on purpose. But there's a lot of God that's not mysterious to you, that is to the lost and dying world. Like, for instance, the mystery of salvation. Salvation is mysterious to a lost man. He has no knowledge of it. But you, my brother steward, my fellow steward, it's not a mystery to you, is it? Amen. It's not a mystery. If you're saved, salvation is not a mystery to you. You know it. It is yours. Amen. Now, you have been put in charge of this mystery of salvation to give it forth and to share it with the lost and dying world. You, God, is holding responsible for. So I think we need to arise to the occasion and now identify ourselves the person that God says we are, stewards. I now am going to take proper charge of my responsibility as a steward. I am a member of Open Door Baptist Church, you say. My pastor has now directed me to give to missions. He's a man that's following my God, and he's my spiritual leader, and in the chain of command, I, as a member of this church, am to follow my spiritual leader. He gives, I give. He leads me to give, I follow His leadership. And so I am going to do what God asks of me. That's why He brings speakers like myself to be an encouragement to you, to challenge you, to reach deep into your faith. This is not about how deep you reach into your pocket, into your wallets, into your bank accounts. No, it's about how deep you reach into your faith. I mean, some of you would say, you know, preacher, for me to be able to give more would be like somebody walking on water. Well, let me tell you, I know a man just like you and me. They walked on water, and it wasn't the winter's time either. Some of you will get that in the day. But this man called Peter walked on water. Don't you call that incredible? I mean, it's dark out. Can't see a thing. The wind is blowing, and the waves are high and destructive. And everybody's scared. And here's the Lord walking on water out there where people can barely see Him. Barely see Him. And Peter says to the Lord, Lord, if it's You, bid me come unto Thee. And He said, come. And Peter came. He walked on that water. Why did he walk on that water? Well, because he believed that he could. Why do you think that you can be involved in your church missions giving program? And why are those that are here busy and very much involved in giving to missions? It's because they believe that they can. Because they believe that they can. And how many of you would say now, your faith is being challenged. I am now going to be asked to give more, to increase what I'm giving unto the Lord. And how many of you are going to do that? Because you believe that you can. Hey, equate it as walking on water if you want to, because it's a leap of faith. Because here you've got God's people. I mean, they got bills, they got to pay, they got food, they've got to eat, they've got to have a place to live, they got to pay the utilities. And after everything is said and done there, now what's left? I can't give much to God. After all, I am a Baptist, and therefore I am poor. I hope that after last night you've gotten rid of that mindset. But it'll probably take a little while. But if you lean on the Lord and you trust God and have Him direct you to do the things that are right in His sight, He can make miracles happen in your life, and you can be a walking live miracle wherever you go. I'm telling you, now that you're saved, you're a walking miracle, aren't you? But hey, we don't see ourselves like that as we walk in public. Matter of fact, so many of us, we walk below the radar so nobody can see us. Why, if somebody sees us as a child of God, we're probably going to have to say that we love the Lord, and we're going to probably have to tell them that they need to be saved. And hey, we're not up to that. Why? Because we're scaredy cats. We don't do those things. We're allergic to persecution. We break out in hives to think that somebody would pick on us because we're saved. And it's all in giving toward missions. It's all in reaching out and being a blessing to somebody somehow, some way, in some shape, in some form. And this is all about giving to missions. I picked this up just recently where I was at in a church, and I think I'd like to share this with you. It's called Fellowship of the Unashamed. This is attributed to a 20th century African pastor who is martyred for his faith. I mean, here's a man who died because of his faith. Now, if this man just, if he didn't get saved, and he wasn't standing up, and he wasn't proclaiming himself to be a child of God and a Christian and trying to encourage others to be saved, he'd still be alive today. But no, instead, he's in heaven today. Praise the Lord for him being in heaven, eh? He said these things. Now listen to this. He said, I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have His Holy Spirit within. The die has been cast. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Christ. I won't look back, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. Wow, sounds like he's in for some heavy living. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, or popularity. I don't have, he says, I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by His presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by His power. My pace is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow and my way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, back up, let up or shut up until I preached, prayed, paid, stored up and stood firm and unwavering for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until He returns, give until I'm spent, preached until all I know, and the work until He comes. And when He comes to get His own, He will have no trouble recognizing me, for my colors will be clear. Amen. Would to God that be all of our testimonies. But you know what? Somehow, I don't think that it is. I don't think that it is. But I do believe that it can be. You know what that means, though? You have to come from a place that's called, listen now, the comfort zone. That's where so many of God's people are hiding out. It's known as the comfort zone. Yeah. So everything's nice and neat and proper, you see. It's where you'll be able to live your life without any hitches, any big deals or huge problems. Because if you stepped out by faith, well, that could tip things in your life. After all, we don't like rocking the boat, do we? We don't like rocking the boat. And if I increase giving toward missions, that will rock my financial boat. And I don't like rocking the boat. I need to be secure. Isn't that our mindset? We need security. Security, security. Hey, if you do the math and you add what the Word of God has to say, security is in Christ. Security is in following the Lord. Brethren, my fellow stewards, we have been called on to be faithful. That's not just in church attendance, but it is church attendance. It is not just in giving, but it is in giving. It's not just in prayer, but it is in prayer, do you see? It's not just in witnessing, but it is in witnessing. We need to be all these things as the stewards of God, the stewards of the mysteries of God. Hey, even church attendance is a mystery to some of those people out there. They're trying to figure out what in the world you keep coming back to the same church for more than once a week. More than once a week. They're trying to figure it out. You are confusing to them. Maybe one day they'll follow you to church to find out what in the world is so different about your life. But we're talking about giving to missions. Hey, notice, here's a very, very familiar, popular passage of Scripture this time of the time together, and that's in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, if you'll turn there to verse 37. Notice this with me. Matthew 9, I have just a very short moment left here, but I want you to just get a hold of this. I mean, this is big. This is huge. I mean, just read the Word of God for as simple as it is. And my friend, it's a whole lot simpler than what you think it is. It really is. Tell me what you don't understand about these couple of verses here in verse 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Is there anything about that you don't understand? Kind of easy, isn't it? Then he says in verse number 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Anything about that you don't understand? Now notice, it says that the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. Not long ago, my wife and I got to take a missions trip to Japan. We've visited three of our missionaries. We support four missionaries there. But we visited three of our missionaries in Japan. In the city of Tokyo alone, there are 40 million people. That's a lot of folks. And there's just a very few missionaries reaching 40 million people. That means that we need more laborers. So does anybody here feel called to Japan? Well, not just right now, preacher. Not just right now. Do you realize, let me just share this little testimony. This young girl, she came home from a Bible Baptist camp. Youth camp that they'd had it in the summer. And she gave this testimony. She said, I kept running from God. I just believed that God wanted to call me to be a missionary and He wanted to send me out to some place with bugs. I don't want to be no missionary. So I kept saying no to God and no to God and no to God, and finally I couldn't stand it anymore. Finally I had to come. Finally I came. I prayed. I said, Lord, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go. And God said, my dear child, that's all I wanted, is for you to be willing to go. You see, so many of God's people sitting in the pews, they aren't even willing to go. If God should call, they aren't willing to go. Just aren't willing to go. Have you ever talked to somebody who is unwilling to do something? You ever noticed? You ever notice how you just simply can't get them to do it? Be so much more easier if you and I have a mindset that we're willing to give to missions and go and be a missionary, even though it don't always happen. But we just need to be willing. One preacher said to the other one time, he said, "You know, in our church, everybody's willing. Some are willing to do the work, and the rest are willing to let him. They're all willing. Fact of the matter is, what God wants of us in our life is all of us be willing to be the stewards that God has called us to be. To give when God says give. To go when God says go. Amen? We are stewards, caretakers of that which belongs to God. Caretakers of that which belongs to God. I just defined steward. So please, let us represent our Lord and our heart's desire to serve God as He so leads us. Let's pray.